Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury, and I have Dr. Thomas Brenner on the line. Tom, or Dr. Thomas, or however you like to go by, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Lon. It's really great to be talking with you again.
Yeah, we've had a couple interesting conversations before. Today, we're going to be talking about psychological assessments and try to answer the question, what a psychological assessment can do for you. Incidentally, it is May 19th, 2017. And why don't you describe what is a psychological assessment and what's a real one? Because I know there's some that some people have a half-hour paper test and they say that's a psychological assessment, and that's not really. It's got to be more than that. So could you talk about a psychological assessment? Yeah.
Right. So most people are used to reading a magazine and there's maybe four questions and it's some kind of personality test, or online they have something on Facebook and they look at and they answer some questions and it's how smart am I or what am I like, and you know, you're categorized into things, and those are really not credible psychological assessments. Those are just sort of fun kinds of things. But what we're talking about when we say psychological assessment is truly understanding how a person functions to some degree, depending on what the question is. Whenever you do a psychological assessment, there's a referral question. So, for example, I work with University of Arizona athletes, and sometimes the question is, does this athlete have ADHD? Mm-hmm. Or if I work with the, say, Tucson Electric Power here in Tucson, a utility company, the question could be, is this person fit for duty? Can they continue working in their position? Let's say they've maybe had some anger management issues, or other kinds of assessment for parents. Example could be, does my child have a problem, or are they just going through growing pain? So true psychological assessment uses credible, scientifically validated techniques to address a specific question by clearly mapping out any concerning behaviors and what's causing those behaviors and what can be done to correct them.
I presume it also takes a certain amount of time that they're lengthy. They're not just a few minutes or a half hour, but a day, 2 days sometimes?
It really varies. If it's an emergency consult and someone needs some quick information, you could do it in a day. Usually, say on the other end of the spectrum, the comprehensive assessments could be 3 to 4 mornings, and it could be a battery of assessment measures that could assess things such as intelligence or IQ, achievement, otherwise known as reading, writing, and math skills, and then emotional and behavioral skills, and then finally an in-depth interview. If it's with children, I'll first interview the parents, of course, if they're under 18, to get a really thorough history in terms of birth history, developmental, medical, et cetera, so that you have a very strong idea of how that child has developed up to the point of the consultation.
Okay, so what should a person look for? Because, you know, the title we're talking about, what it can do for you. Well, what are some of the tricks about getting the most out of a psychological assessment? I assume at some point there's an oral and a written report that the parent or the subject gets. So what should they look for? What questions should they ask?
Right. There could be just a verbal feedback at the end. Most often, I would write a report, and then you do what's called a feedback, whether it's verbal or including a report. And what I like to do and what people should look for is I will use my dry erase board in my conference room, a large one, and literally by the time they walk out the door, for people listening, you should feel like this person just mapped out the critical factors that are related to the referral question. So, for example, if their child's had anger management problems, they should feel like that professional doing the assessment just mapped out for them on the board all the factors contributing to the anger management problem so that they have a roadmap for what they need to do in order to correct the problem. And so great psychological assessment provides a cognitive map, if you will, a mapping of the terrain with the essential landmarks on that terrain that relate to the problem at hand. And so the dynamics are captured, the dynamics that are causing the problem, making it worse, maybe the dynamics too that can make it get better. That's what people should look for, is someone who can clearly articulate the factors driving the problem, and secondly, have user-friendly bullet point recommendations that together result in a roadmap so they walk out the door knowing exactly what they need to do next.
I would imagine another way of saying that is they'd have the thought, my gracious, they know my kid better than I do, or they know me better than I do.
Well, that in great psychological assessment, and you know, we can distinguish poor assessment, good assessment, and then what really is the difference between good and great assessment?
Mm-hmm.
And in any field, you ask yourself that would be great assessment is the parent says if it's a child assessment, oh my God, they just turned my kid inside out. They also will say, wow, you know, you really put together some things I've been concerned about, but now I see you've done it in a systematic, visual way, and they can see how all of the key factors relate to each other so that they have an understanding of the dynamics. And you almost think of, from an engineering perspective, you know, you can think of people as really just patterns of energy, and that cognitive map clarifies, well, how does the energy flow with that kid? And, you know, what's causing the energy, particular kinds of energy, and then, you know, what do they need to do to change it? And sometimes you are articulating what the parents are doing that are making the problem worse or, you know, maybe helping to correct it.
Do they generally include some sort of suggestions for interventions or treatments?
Yes, they always should have a great psychological assessment will have a list of bullet point user-friendly recommendations, and those will include reference to the social science literature that delineates the evidence-based practices and techniques that should be used. For example, with ADHD, there's all kinds of things that can be touted. People could say that you should get chiropractic work. People could say that you need to, you know, run laps in the gym. And while there's a lot of things that could be done that could help a little bit, what you as a parent or adult want, or a college student, et cetera, is you want to know the very most effective things so that you're putting your money most wisely to use rather than just spending on anything that's trendy. And there's a real set of empirically supported treatments that any psychologist would be aware of or other practitioners that are online that you can, even if you just Googled empirically supported treatment, a list would come up, and that would show either by condition, you could look up, say, depression and see what the evidence-supported treatments are, or you could look up a specific treatment like cognitive behavioral therapy and see, oh, wow, it works for all these different kinds of problems, anxiety, depression, et cetera.
Well, you've been talking about a great psychological assessment, but I presume that there's a lot of them that are only at good. So what would be the difference between a great and a good psychological assessment?
That is an excellent question, and I would say a good one would simply report diagnoses. For example, your child has generalized anxiety disorder or ADHD, and an accurate diagnosis could allow it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the medical model. The medical model is accurate diagnosis. When you go to see your doctor, you're hoping for an accurate diagnosis. What allows it to become great in the field of behavioral science is that problem is put within the context of that child's or person's personality. Because no two kids have the same form of ADHD. They may all have the same symptoms, but because there's such variation in the human creature, you have to appreciate how ADHD is experienced uniquely in terms of how it's experienced, expressed, and even controlled or managed. It's unique with each kid. So two kids have the same symptoms of ADHD, but they experience it very differently. Mm-hmm. They try and control it very differently. They express it very differently. And great psychological assessment not only gets the diagnosis right, but it really captures the essential personality characteristics that you need to understand in order to treat the ADHD and make the kid feel like you're appreciating them. In other words, you're seeing the problem or diagnosis from within the greater framework of their personality instead of seeing their personality from within the framework of their diagnosis. The problem with the medical model is often people are treated way too generically and uniformly, as if, oh, well, you have this knee injury, here's your diagnosis, you need surgery. What we're finding, even with medication, to just look at that for a minute, is that people respond very differently to medication, and we're starting to have medications addressing a person's genetic structure. So the analogy in behavioral science is, while we don't give medication, we say, well, you have this diagnosis and we need to say do this treatment called cognitive behavioral therapy, but you have to tailor it to that person's personality. So the great assessment accounts for the personality characteristics.
Well, my next question is, a parent, they want assessment. I sometimes have told some clients, well, you need to get an assessment, and a serious assessment, not just one of the 1 hour in the office paper. And how would they find a great, because I presume they'd want a great one, because I keep thinking on a couple of psychiatrists years ago, and I hear this every now and then, that the most common diagnosis is misdiagnosis. And so how does a parent weed their way through that in order to get a great assessment that is really spot on?
That is an excellent question. And so that's why, for example, on my website, I have a section called How Do You Interview a Psychologist? And the questions that need to be asked are, some core questions would be as follows. How much experience do you have working and evaluating this kind of problem? How do you determine what tools you're going to use to assess the problem? What evidence-based literature do you refer to in order to determine how you will assess this or what treatment recommendations you will make? Fourth, could you provide me with a sample report? And this is a big one, Lon. You know, a lot of psychologists, they're really overly covetous of their reports. Like, well, I can't give a report out because it's private information. Well, that's ridiculous. You can sanitize a report to the point where anyone could read it and no one could even guess what kid is being discussed, even the next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. And so I believe in transparency. We're in a society where people deserve to get even more information than they ever got before. And so I think great psychologists should be willing to give sample reports because the proof is in the pudding. I work with attorneys a lot. And they say, well, doc, what makes you so special? And I say, well, hey, don't trust me. Let me send you a couple sample reports, and you can see how I think about cases. And we'll send them examples of handling really, really complex cases where it becomes very clear when you read the summary of a report how complex information is handled. Is the person just slapping a diagnosis on someone? Or are they showing how careful they've been and how they are making a diagnosis but accounting for that child's personality or their history or their trauma or their giftedness? If a child's gifted and has ADHD, well, you've got to account for that in the treatment recommendations you make. People are amazingly complex, and it is you must appreciate that complexity. And I would say those would be some key ways to vet psychologists.
Okay. Well, we've about ran out of time because I'm sure we could continue on this for quite a while. Well, talk about your practice, how people can get a hold of you, and you know what you do for a living besides doing clinical assessments, I presume.
Right. I'm a clinical forensic and consulting psychologist in Tucson, Arizona. We serve people in Tucson and Southern Arizona and beyond. We work with clients all over the world, sometimes by Skype. And we specialize in three key areas: evidence-based assessment across the lifespan, evidence-based treatment of children and adults, and third, in providing really high-quality consultation to a variety of professionals, including attorneys. And we both do assessment, and I do therapy. And we have a website at drbrunner.com, doctor spelled out, and then Brunner is BRUNNER.com. And I write a blog regularly so people can sign up for that if they want, or read that to get to know me better.
Okay, so the best way to get a hold of you or find out or ask you any questions on this topic is at the go to the website.
Yes, and they can call my assistant Denise at 520-314-4772, and that is, of course, in the U.S. of A., and if they want to set up a time to chat with me.
Okay, well, very good. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Brunner. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report, and we've been talking with Dr. Thomas Brunner about what a psychological assessment can do for you. Great. Thank you very much for your time. This is very informative.
My pleasure. It's always a pleasure to work with you, Lon.